Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
What a great song, especially for the day and age in which we live in. I can't imagine how to deal with life and the world without the hope that we have in Christ. And my desire is that if you're here today and you're not sure what that hope is all about, that today you'll personally experience a personal walk with Christ, a renewed relationship with Him. Well, everyone here in the room at times have been amazed. Amazement can go either way. If you like football, you may have been amazed yesterday that your team lost. Or you may be amazed that your team won. Sometimes as we look at all the things that have happened because of Helene and the storm, we're amazed at how destructive rain and winds can be, and even to an area that they weren't really expecting it to be so bad. They're just devastated and they're reeling. And so it's amazing to watch all that on television or to hear about it on the radio. And on the other hand, we're amazed at how many people are helping. People that don't necessarily have a dog in the hunt. They don't know anybody, but they feel an urgency to go or to give or to pray, and we're grateful for that. Prayer is powerful. And so we're amazed at how selfless so many people can be. Well, today I want to look at two amazing passages in the New Testament. If you've not already turned there, turn to Luke chapter 7 and then back to Mark chapter 6. Because I want to look at two amazing passages because I described it that way or gave it that title because it literally uses the word, and because of who is amazed. Now, let me be quick to say, all Scripture is amazing because it comes from God. He's relaying to us how to live out our faith, how to celebrate the goodness of God, how to understand the sovereignty of God, how to raise our children, how to deal with broken relationships or the prodigal. I mean, the Bible is amazing. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But let's look right here, Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and was about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But if you say the word, and my servant, he'll be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I tell this one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd, following him, he said, I tell you, I've not found such great faith, even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So this was an amazing passage in a positive, good way. Jesus was amazed. It's one thing for us to be amazed. It's another thing to turn to the scriptures and see the two times that we find that Jesus, two times, was amazed. Now let's look at another one. Turn to Mark chapter 6, or back to Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many heard him. They were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that's been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They'd grown up watching Jesus, and here he'd come back, and they're like, wait a minute, we know this guy. Who is this that does all of this? And then verse 4, after they took offense, Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hand on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. So you find in one instance, he's amazed at a man's faith. A man that really should not have exercised such great faith, but he did. And then he's amazed at those that you would think would exercise faith, but they didn't. Heartbreaking. Two different types of amazement. Now, again, we can read in the Bible, and we sometimes are amazed, certainly those of us that have experienced the grace of God. In Mark 22, it says the people were amazed at his teaching. We saw in the second passage an opportunity to see that they were amazed. In Luke 5:26, it says the people were amazed when Jesus healed a paralytic. And then some of us not only have read of times that people were amazed at Jesus, we have been amazed at Jesus in our own life, and some of us sing songs like Amazing Grace, or we sing songs or did sing songs when we were growing up like this one, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Is there anybody in here that remembers that great hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence? Good. Then I'm going to expect you to sing in just a minute. I tricked you, didn't I? But not as much as I've tricked three people this morning when I sent them a text. And I said to them, do you know the old hymn, I Stand Amazed? And oh, it was great. They fell right into it. They quickly text back, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, my wife didn't because she knew I was probably about to do something that she wouldn't be surprised at, but somewhat nervous. And then I said, well, just get a little familiar. Now, y'all, this was this morning. I've always wanted to be in a quartet, but for some reason, nobody's ever asked me to be in a quartet. And I thought, well, this is my opportunity. Now, some of you are looking at me like, oh, no, is he about to call on me? No, you know who you are. Because I let you know this morning, we hadn't rehearsed at all. But I'm going to ask my quartet, including my wife, who's going to be a part of this, to come and approach the stage right now because I want us to sing this song, I Stand Amazed. Would you give them a hand as they come and help me with this song? And they were saying, well, I don't know the screen. Let's just grab your hymnal. This is my dad's old hymnal. It's on page 63 in this one. Now, there's a hymnal right there. You want me right here, Dwayne? Okay. Now, what part do you sing? Do you sing alto?
We're all singing unison.
Oh, we're singing unison? I don't know what that means, Dwayne, but I guess we'll do it. Now, I know you're going to be overwhelmed with our quartet, but listen to the words. Some of you know the words. And this is really going to help us remember how we can be amazed at Christ and then, but where we're going with, but Jesus was amazed at what it was about, okay? Let's just do this on the count of three. Now, they sing in the choir, so we know they got it. Dwayne, one time, long time ago, which he wished he hadn't told me, said he was in the youth choir at East Haven years ago. And I was in the youth choir growing up, so I know we got this, Dwayne.
We got it.
We got it, okay? We're going to sing the first and the last stanza, okay? One, two, three.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Yay. That's good, yeah. I think they're going to stop right there. I know it, Eric. Maybe you need to come up here and help me sing the last one. All right. You want to? You want to come up here, Eric? Come on up here. We'll do it. You got to carry us, Eric. Okay. One, two, three.
When with the ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. Great. All right. Your first point on the listing sheet as we consider the amazement of Jesus and who he was amazed at because of their faith is Jesus was amazed at the great faith. Now, this is from the passage in Luke chapter 7. As a Gentile, Luke, who wrote this, had a special interest in noting how the gospel message explained from an exclusively Jewish audience to the one that included Gentiles. In other words, because he was of such, he thought it was wonderful to make sure the Gentiles knew that the gospel was for them. The Roman centurion, who would naturally be hated as an officer of the occupying force displayed more faith in Christ than many Jews did. The key to great faith is to believe that the object of your faith is great. And this man had an object of faith on Jesus, and he was humble, and he was gracious. And he said, hey, Jesus, you don't even have to come. Just the fact that you come under my roof is a little overwhelming. Just say the word and I'll be healed. And Jesus was amazed at his faith. Now, what is faith? Biblical faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that believeth in him, it is impossible to believe God, that he that believeth in him should always believe that faith is it. It's faith. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So it's being sure of what you hope for, verse 1, and being certain of what you do not see. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7, or just look a little bit further, and beginning with verse 36. This is where Jesus anointed the sinful woman. And I want to read this passage to help us understand how faith applies to life and how faith is important for those that may be in the room watching on Facebook or listening up to the radio that are struggling because you can't let go of your sins of the past. I mean, before we move on to the other passage and see the disappointment and the amazement that Jesus had for those that lack faith, I don't want to skip this passage or this very important point. You would be amazed at how many people I come in contact with or talk to because of being the pastor or being their friend that just can't seem to move on in life because they're beating themselves up over sins of the past. And it's blocking them. It's like they're in mud and they can't walk. They've confessed their sins. They've made things right with God. They've made things right with others. But for whatever reason, they don't move on. So for those, listen closely to what Jesus says to this woman. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You've judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, the woman who had great sin in her life. Do you see this woman? I come into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests begin to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I want to remind everybody today that your sin has been forgiven by Christ. I want to remind everybody today, if you have a checkered past or that you have struggled because you got off track for a while and you did some things that you never imagined you would do, that if you confess your sins, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You're forgiven based on the Word of God. And He has a bright future for you. Don't stay there. Don't allow the enemy to defeat you through stinking thinking or staying where you are, whatever that means for you, you know, if that's you. So just be reminded, it's for by grace that you are saved through faith. If you want to personally amaze Jesus, move on with your checkered past by faith and believe that He can take your mess and make a message out of it. And it can be used in somebody's life that you may or may not know right now, but you trust Him and you watch what He does. Let's move to the second passage and the second major point, which is this: Jesus was amazed at the lack of faith. The Messiah, the true Messiah, was in their midst. They missed it, many of them, because they refused to believe. He eventually left and went to where people, many, did respond. He left his hometown. If we today refuse to trust Him, we should not be surprised when eternity doesn't show up in our history. Furthermore, we that claim to be Christians so often miss amazing moments due to our lack of faith or due to our clutter because of our misplaced priorities. We can limit God due to our lack of faith. I wonder at times if Jesus is amazed at my lack of faith or your lack of faith. Oh, we look at the Jewish people, we look at the religious people, and we think, well, I get why Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. And yet sometimes we're not willing to apply that to our own self, our own faith. For example, let's look at some examples. We determine to stop trying to reach our neighbor because they are so lost. We can look at who's across the street or who's beside us, lives beside us, and we can think, well, we've had conversations, and we see that their garage doesn't open on Sunday morning, and we've tried to do something, and maybe we've lived there for a while, and we see no difference, and we just give up on them. And God says to you, and He says to me, have faith. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep looking for open doors. What else? We determined to stop trying to be involved in perhaps racial reconciliation in some shape, form, or fashion because it may seem useless. We stop praying about a prodigal because it just seems to be a waste of our time. They're still out there. whatever that looks like. But we should never stop praying. We should pray believing. The Bible says it's God's will to pray always, even when we can't understand how to relate to that prodigal. Might be a family member, might be a friend, might be a neighbor's. We keep praying and believing, and we never give up. I wonder if Jesus is amazed at our lack of faith when we don't walk through an open door because our time isn't God's time. Our plan for our life doesn't always look like God's, but God's plan is the best plan. And we have to trust Him because life is fleeting and it's over like that. And if we're not careful, we'll miss it. We got to be willing to have faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and being certain of what you do not see. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Maybe, just maybe, the main reason we don't have fresh experiences with Jesus is due to our unbelief. But oh, isn't it good when you see Jesus bring fresh experiences in your life, in your family, or your church family because of people of faith? Now I'm going to just go back to summer before last for just a few minutes to give an example of this. It was the summer of 2023. And I'd been here for several months. And years ago, when I lived in Memphis for a time, on Thursday mornings, I attended a men's, they called it an Amen Bible study at Second Pres in Memphis, Tennessee, early in the morning. And when somebody invited me to go there, this fellow, he said, "Man, you ought to go with us to this men's Bible study at Second Pres." First of all, I'm thinking, man, I'm a Baptist preacher. They may not let me in. And it was at a season in life where I could go and didn't have something on. I usually take Thursdays off, and it worked out. And I started going, and I went one time, and I went back, and we'd go, and we'd eat this meal. And then you'd sit at a table. If you wanted to sit at the same table, you could. Usually that's what people did. They'd have a semester in the fall and a semester in the spring. And then they'd have a fella stand up, one guy, say, "We're glad you're here," lead in a prayer. The worship leader would stand up, do one song. The pastor would get up and teach for a while. And then he'd finish, and then those around the table would answer some questions. They'd be off at work. And it really ministered to me at a season in life that I needed something like that. I needed some bro time. I needed to get outside of my comfort zone and meet some people that weren't part of my denomination or weren't in my immediate circle or my church. And I thought to myself after that season, because that was a while back, I thought, you know, probably about 12 years ago, maybe we'll do something like that. Where I pastor. So that summer, as we were kicking around different ideas with different people, pulled a group of guys and we met in the conference room. I said, "I want to talk to y'all about something." And I threw out the idea. Maybe we ought to have a men's Bible study on Thursdays and have a big old breakfast. They helped me with the name come up with called Hungry Men. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled, but also have a big old breakfast. And so we met that summer trying to get ready for the next fall. And I can remember, I thought, well, you know, how many do you think we have? We need to figure out how to order t-shirts and how to prepare a meal. And I thought, man, it'd be great if we had 50. Oh, no, somebody said. Oh, no. We're going to have more than that. Listen, I came out of that room because of the men of faith that were in that room thinking, wow, man, this is going to be really good or really bad. We're going to have a lot of biscuits left over. Because of the faithfulness of those men and others that caught their faith and their vision, we averaged 100. We averaged 100 this past spring. And this past week we started at 127. Now, why do I tell you that? Because I want you to understand something. When we exercise faith and we believe, now you've got to execute a vision and a plan. You got to put feet to the ground, which is what our men do. And our staff, they do their part. It helps others dream big and have faith to live out the story of their life and their family. And sometimes that's not good. But it helps people when we exercise faith in our daily lives. And every once in a while, we do something that's radical that we've never done before. Let's live that way. Because when we do, by faith, our Jesus, He is amazed. Not at our works, but at our faith in Him, for He's our object. And we want to bring glory to Him. Let's pray. God, Your word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've heard Your word. We've looked at several passages. We pray, God, that we'll apply Your truth to our lives and the life of our church. God, help us not to settle. Help us to abide in You. Help us to grow our faith by spending time with You, not just on Sundays, but during the week. God, I pray for those that might need faith to make a decision this morning, whatever that might be. Making a step to join the church, coming and reassuring themselves of their salvation by talking to a counselor, whatever it may be, God, I pray that Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.